South at mile marker 316, there's been a crash. Two right lanes are blocked. Lots of backup going south. Also, we're seeing delays north as cars take a peek at the crash as they pass by. And on the Buckman Bridge going into Orange Park, look out for a broken down car. You'll see it on the right. Mostly cloudy today and then sun by afternoon. Our high will be 80. This evening, partly cloudy with a low of 61. Right now, it is 60 here at WBOB. And here are the top stories we're bringing you this morning. President Trump says he's ready to deal for the government to reopen, but no compromise from Democrats on border wall funding. Economists say while the stock market has seen major turbulence, 2019 looks good for positive growth. And minimum wage workers will get a pay raise and businesses will get a break on insurance bills as new laws take effect today in Florida.
Contact the Ed Dean Show on AM 600 and 101.1 FM by calling 222-TALK or 222-8255 or email ed@wbob.com.
Hour number two, for those of you just waking up, no, do not adjust that radio dial. Some of you may have, some of you haven't, and they were thankful for that. We are back live, ready to go. Second day of the year, our first day back. Well, Roger, who did a great job with all of our other fill-in guest hosts, and thank you for doing that. Ed Dean is always, as I've always said, I am the happiest behind the mic.
Okay.
All right? And certainly, I'm not the happiest about to deal with my fitness trainer. I can tell you that. But anyway.
Occasionally, you do have to drop it, but, you know, that's part of the job.
Ah, touche. Mic drop. We'll explain that sometime. 222-TALK, 904-222-8255. Let's get into it as we kick off the new year. By the way, real quick, before I get to David Williams, folks, it is the second week in January. Do you folks remember what took place in January of 2018 in Florida, especially for Northeast Florida, Jacksonville, record cold temperatures? Some might even thought we saw little flurries of ice.
Right.
Remember that? The snow. And now we're talking about the upper 70s, in some cases in Florida, the 80s.
Yeah, 80 degrees in Florida in January.
David Williams, Fox Business News contributor, who I've done a lot of fishing with, who's gone down, to many times to, you know, travels to the Keys, also here in the state of Florida. I'm trying to get David to come down. 80-degree weather, brother.
Well, are you fishing for a compliment?
Ah, touche. David Williams is the president of the Taxpayers Protection Alliance, one of the best well-known taxpayer advocacy groups. He's also a Fox Business News contributor. Charles Payne, from Making Money with Charles Payne, says when the Dems take the House this week, their main goal, listen to clip number three, will be to go after capitalism.
Election is, if the Dems do win the House, it starts setting up 2020, which I think will be an onslaught, a full-on war against capitalism. You know, we heard some comments yesterday by Mark Warner. We know that the younger folks in the Democratic Party are against it. And I think that's going to be one of the central issues that corporate America and Wall Street are going to have to deal with over the next 2 years if the Dems win the House.
Well, they did. I think that was after the election. But having said that, this is where I'm going with this. Now, I know liberals are listening to this radio show here, Dave, and they're going, hey, wait, Dems are not, hey, there's a dartboard of capitalism, and they're throwing darts at it. When you talk about a green energy, and they're talking full-blown Medicare for all, a lot of this, that is a major attack, yes, on businesses and on capitalism.
Well, this is going to be fascinating because you have Ocasio-Cortez from New York, who is a far-left liberal. She's coming into Congress, and she's kind of a darling child of the left, but not of the Democrats, because you have Nancy Pelosi, who has pushed back on her with this new Green Deal. So I think there's going to be a lot of tension between the moderate Democrats, and I just called Nancy Pelosi a moderate, but you know what I'm talking about, and people like Ocasio-Cortez. I think there's going to be a lot of tension there because to win an election in 2 years, the Democrats can't swing too far to the left, and Cortez is going to try to bring them to the left, and this is going to be an all-out assault on capitalism, but only by a few. But guess what? They're going to get the publicity. Ocasio-Cortez, those people, they're going to get the publicity in the media.
Let me set up for you a clip. Kevin Cork from Fox News talks about the latest with the government shutdown, because I have a question I want to ask you after the clip about, I think the Democrats may make the compromise, but I'll tell you where. Clip number eight.
I spoke with a senior administration official within the hour, and unfortunately, he said to me, there's little optimism here that Democrats will come to their senses and create a deal that enables the president to get his money for the border wall. And so that means this could probably go on for quite some time, and that's certainly not very good news, in particular for those of you who work for the government and are now sitting on the sidelines. Hope on Capitol Hill, Democrats are obviously eager to resume control of the House this week. Meanwhile, Senate Democrats are urging the president to, listen, give up.
Give up some of the Democrats. I have an idea. The president wants he got 1.6. The Democrats bragged about that. The president says he wants $5 billion. Remember leading up the week or so before the Christmas holidays, the rumors that he was going to compromise. He says, no, it's $5 billion. And then now we see reports that Mike Pence said, hey, we've been willing to compromise to $2.5 billion, maybe $3 billion. Is it possible that this is nothing more than a shell game? Nancy Pelosi wants to gain the speakership this week. The Dems take over in the House. Is it possible that if she gets renominated to be the House Speaker, that then the Democrats may compromise on border wall funding, or they have no compromise at all?
No, I think the Democrats are going to compromise in the House, and here's what they're going to do. It's going to be watered down, but it's something that they're going to say that they were able to accomplish. Now, listen, this is all contingent upon the Senate. The Senate is the problem with the 60-vote rule there. So all they have to do is pass something that's really watered down and moderate, and you have enough squishy Republicans and Dems in the Senate to pass it. So that's what I think she's banking on, is that she doesn't have to worry about the House. She has to worry about the Senate, and that could be very favorable to Pelosi.
Let's talk a little bit about the Mueller investigation. The question was asked by Fox News. When is this investigation going to wrap up?
Remember, before Rudy Giuliani, the president's first batch of attorneys said that they were expecting this to wrap up at the end of 2017, maybe early 2018. Here we are on the first day of 2019, and we have no further guidance, no further clarity whatsoever as to when this will wrap up. It could be a perfectly legitimate question to ask, do we even know if this is going to wrap up in 2019?
David, former federal prosecutor John Laura says it could be months before this investigation is wrapped up.
I agree. I think we're many, many months away from the release. Mueller was charged with determining whether or not there was coordination between Russian entities that were interfering in the election and the Trump campaign.
You know, I wonder if this is nothing more than an Al Capone era where... And I shouldn't see, maybe an Al Capone type of an investigation. You knew that Capone was, I'm not saying Trump is, you knew Capone was guilty of broken laws and prohibition and murder, but he paid off a lot of people, and they could only nail him on a tax evasion. But here's the other side. I'm not saying Trump's guilty of all the other stuff. The Democrats are glowing and bragging. They want to, I mean, you had Jerry Nadler, incoming House Judiciary Committee chairman, talking about going after Trump's tax returns. They believe that they can nail him on a tax probe investigation, and yet Mueller doesn't have anything as well. What do you see?
Well, Mueller's had a blank check, and at some point we have to say, when is enough enough? And are we going to get down to the level of parking tickets by Ivanka Trump? I mean, that's what they're looking at now, are these small things. And you would think that if there was evidence of collusion, that this would have been brought out by now. And that's why I think there's just a lot more going on here where it has nothing to do with collusion. It's just chipping away at this president, chipping away at, and listen, Paul Manafort, all this stuff happened, he pled guilty, he's in jail. All this happened before he worked with the president. So you just wonder how far back they're going. And at some point, taxpayers have to ask, when is enough enough, and when do you take away the blank check of Mueller?
Here's an interesting question. Do you think there's any time, Lindsey Graham, heaven bless him, man. I mean, everybody who, Amnesty, Lindsey, and some of the other, we voted for, Sotomayor and for Kagan out there, but at least he's consistent about, fairness when it comes to judiciary hearings on Trump judges. He's talking about going, re-looking up in the Clinton Foundation, the Mueller probe, and all of this, which could even become more interesting. Is it possible? You have said due to leaks. Is it possible? Because we know that a lot of times the media will leak things and the media will not properly leak things. Like, remember Jim Comey told the president that he was not being investigated? Yep. Did the media leak that? No, they did not leak that. Is it possible that if there's a Russian interference, is there any investigation going on with the Clintons, or is this solely about Trump?
Oh, it's all about Trump.
Okay.
And listen, there could be a lot of side stories for Mueller, for Clinton and Podesta and these folks, that those stories may never get told. And I'm actually a little concerned about CNN, is that what are they going to report on in the House when the Dems take over? I mean, there's nothing for them to report on.
David Williams is a Fox Business News contributor, president of the Taxpayers Protection Alliance out of Washington, D.C., protectingtaxpayers.org. Elizabeth Warren has already made an announcement for a 2020 run. President Trump was asked about this. Here's what he said.
Elizabeth Warren will be the first. She did very badly in proving that she was of Indian heritage. That didn't work out too well. I think you have more than she does, and maybe I do too, and I have nothing. So, you know, we'll see how she does. I wish her well. I hope she does well. I'd love to run against her.
She says she's in the fight all the way, Mr. President. Do you really think she believes she can win?
Well, that I don't know. You'd have to ask her psychiatrist.
Does anybody really take her with any credibility?
No, and listen, that campaign announcement, I thought it was a 23andMe commercial. I was really confused by the first part of it. And being that she is Native American, was it appropriate for her to be drinking a beer, trying to get the young vote, the 18-year-old vote? I don't know. There are a lot of bad signals she was sending during that 23andMe, that campaign announcement.
Did the millennials show up in 2018?
Not really. Not for the Senate. If they did, then the millennials love Republicans because Republicans gain seats in the Senate. So, listen, it's a mixed bag, and millennials, talk a lot, but they don't necessarily go to the polls.
I don't bash people for their age. Warren's up there. You got Bernie Sanders is 70. Joe Biden is 77. It's very entertaining.
The young guns of the Democrats.
Yeah,
coming out.
If you want the millennials, really, what's next? You're going to walk around with she's going to walk around with a peace pipe and act like there's marijuana in it or something?
I can't wait for the Bernie Sanders folks just to hate everyone else in the Democratic Party. You're going to see such vitriol from the Bernie Sanders supporters against Beto, against Warren, you name it. It's going to be very entertaining.
And Andrew Gillum's going to be the VP pick, too, out of Florida. So anyways, David Williams is a Fox Business News contributor. David, good to talk to you today.
Thanks, Ed.
All right, more as we continue to move along. 222-TALK, 222-8255, FM 101.1, AM 600, Talk Radio, WBOB.
In St. George County, I-95 South at mile marker 316, there's been a crash. Two right lanes are blocked. We're seeing a lot of backup going south and also some backup going north as well. And on the Buckman Bridge, heading into Orange Park, there's a broken down car causing delay.
Remember this website, goflyleasing.com. They give you a direct flight without all the hassles of waiting around with no advanced two-hour arrival time at the airport, no TSA lines, no crowded middle seat. They take care of you. Low rates for flight per hours with additional cost. Visit the website. Take advantage of it today. GoFlyLeasing.com. Get involved in their monthly membership programs as well. Don't waste a full day of layovers. GoFlyLeasing.com. That's GoFlyLeasing.com.
Ramona Flea Market has stuff. New stuff. Used stuff. Fun stuff. Kid stuff. Stuff to put stuff in. Stuff to build stuff with. And who needs all that stuff? You. And what do you do when you have too much stuff? Sell your stuff at Ramona Flea Market. Open every Saturday and Sunday from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Book your space now. Call 904-786-3532. Ramona Flea Market. Ramona Boulevard near I-10 and 295.
Some cloudiness this morning, but by afternoon, sunshine and warm weather. Our high will be 80 degrees today. Partly cloudy this evening with a low of 61, and currently it is 60 here at WBOB. And here are the top stories we're bringing you this morning. Economists say that while the stock market has seen major turbulence in 2019, looks good for positive growth. Minimum wage workers will get a pay raise, and businesses will get a break on insurance bills as new laws take effect today in Florida. And President Trump says he's ready to deal for the government to reopen, but no compromise from Democrats on border wall funding.
To contact Ed Dean at AM 600 and 101.1 FM, call 222-TALK, 222-8255, or email ed at wbob.com.
More as we continue to move along, I am your host, Ed Dean, also Roger Henderson. It's good to be back. As a lot of you know, this week kicks off a lot. Inaugural this week, former Congressman, now Governor-elect,
Philip Levine called him Rick DeSantis.
Yeah, and the other people called him Ron DeSantos. Yeah. So I'm like, come on, you got to have a little fun. Like, they always call me, it's Ed Dean, but everybody calls me Dean. I'm like, well, the man with the first two names. Okay. I get it. Anyway, a lot going on. Congress taking over this week, at least one side, and the House of Representatives. And yes, folks, 40 seats. They wanted, you could call it a blue wave. It was a blue wave, at least on the House side, for the Democrats out there. And yet there were polls all over. Roger, a poll at the end of the year showed that President Trump looked like overall he had about a 40-cent approval rating. Some would say that's pretty much what President Obama had when he was going into a re-election bid for 2012. Remember, he lost the House and the Senate,
right,
and was able to win a re-election. And I remember as a reporter, Republicans writing him off.
Yeah.
Some Democrats may be writing off President Trump.
Yeah, you know, some are. And in fact, Trump's in a unique situation. He gets a lot of opposition from within his own party as well. You know, it's hard to get things through. And people even recently, Mitt Romney, Senator-elect from Utah now, is coming out against him. So he's got a tough job.
But one group of people, not only his base, but a group of veterans out there here in Florida and throughout the rest of the country, give big raves. And that's R-A-V-E-S, big raves, big kudos, big up, as they say, for President Trump. According to the Associated Press, the VoteCast.com poll shows that most military veterans view President Trump's leadership in a positive way. More than 4,000 veterans surveyed, 56% overall. I mean, that's, you know, Democrats, Republicans overall, but they asked them as veterans, approved of how President Trump is doing. 59% of veterans believe that the president is, quote, a strong leader. With that breakdown, former spokesperson for Concerned Veterans for America, now a Fox News host, Pete Hegseth.
A new poll by the Associated Press shows 56% of current and former service members approve of the job President Trump is doing as president. 59% say he is a strong leader. 48% say he has the right temperament. Of course, the president always criticized for temperament and leadership, but veterans see through that, and they think they see something different. Key number here, 52% approve of President Trump's handling of border security, a big national conversation we're having right now.
You know, I when I listen to, for example, the majority of voters over the last 2 years have given President Trump the kudo swing,
okay,
the majority of approval for the way the economy's come back. Not former President Obama, but currently President Trump. And the liberals make all, hey, well, who are these voters, blah, 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 blah. But if it's the opposite way where the majority voters want an investigation of President Trump, oh, Dems never question those people.
Yeah.
So my question to liberals out there, and it's a fair question, okay, that if the majority of veterans, 4,000 plus, have been surveyed over the last several months, and the majority of them think that the president's a strong leader, then what are you going to call them? Is that just a given? What is there going to be the response now?
Exactly. And, you know, obviously people have their agendas. You've got people in the media, most of whom are on the left, and they're going to, you know, do what they can to try to cast the president in a bad light. That's just what they're going to do, and I think people are wise to it.
When it comes to, by the way, our military servicemen and women, Roger, the military members are going to get a big pay raise this month as they will start to see a rise in their paychecks. The Defense Department has said that they're raising the base pay for most military members by 2.6% this year. President Trump has touted the largest increase in decade. Last year, in 2018, it was at 2.4%. In addition to pay, for all of you that, and we have a big military crowd that listens to this radio show, believe me, I get the emails and calls on this. In addition to pay, basic allowances for military members, which cover things like food and housing, Roger, will also set to increase as well. Retirees and veterans receiving disability pay will see a bump in compensation this year. The cost of living adjustments, better known as COLAs, that's what we see a lot when it comes to Social Security checks, for military individuals for 2019, it's going to be almost 3%, the largest increase in at least 6 years, which translates into about an extra, almost about $370 per month for some at the top of their retirement system. Enrollees in the Survivor Benefit Plan will receive also a 2.8% increase. As of 2016, these numbers are astonishing, folks. As of 2016, a mid-level military member was earning a base pay around $31,700 compared with non-military employees at $30,000. In 2018, it was at $18,000 to $20,000. Mm. Folks, even with all the extra benefits, how do you survive a $30,000 a year? And military members also have families.
Yeah, they do. Now, if you're a single guy and you're living on base, maybe that's something you can live on. But if you've got a family, you're living off base, you've got rent to pay. A lot of our military people, it's no secret, and a lot of them have to get on welfare programs like food stamps in order to provide for their families while putting their lives on the line to defend us.
And by the way, you know, on this radio show, we have a lot of discussion about our veterans. You know, when it comes to veterans' hospitals out there, VA clinics, are they properly run well? Many of you have said it depends on the location. I get that. But yet, when it comes to, for example, the private sector, and maybe even some would compare, again, I'm not trying to slam unions, there's, you know, where a lot of unions, police and firefighters can get 70 reported to 80% of their paychecks or even more. According to the some of the news stories out there, after 20 years of service, members receive a pension equal to benefit about 40 to 50% pay of their last paycheck. Now, I got news to tell you. Wait, so I'm going to work 40 years, 40 hours a week. For 40 years, I'm only going to get 40% of my paycheck, Roger?
Yeah.
That is sad.
Right, right. And if you're in the middle of the military, it's not a 40-hour work week. You're out there 24-7, you know, on the battlefield in many cases.
Well, I would agree with you on that, yes. But, I mean, it's amazing compared to other government workers, if you want to compare apples to apples. I know one may be deemed overseas. It doesn't matter. The military, I know, Florida retirement system, local unions. But then again, 40 to 50% of their last pay? Again, it's guaranteed. Yes, they get good benefits. But, you know, it's almost like asking the question, why are, unfortunately, we don't treat our military veterans like we treat the private sector? Why don't we allow them to go in, for example, the Mayo Clinic in Jacksonville, St. Vincent's, Holmes Regional Medical Center, Indian River, Chan's Hospital? We continue to build more VA clinics. And that's like saying, well, only former members of the military, like doctors, can help those. No, doctors can help. I mean, we have empty beds in these hospitals out there.
Meanwhile,
why are we not treating our veterans that better?
Meanwhile, our veterans have to, in most cases, probably drive to another city just to see a doctor.
Why are we building another VA clinic? We have empty beds in many of these hospitals out there.
Yeah.
I mean, do we really need, well, yeah, I guess we do. We do need an act of Congress.
It would require.
To be able to take some of their benefits that they receive and move it as a voucher system, whatever, into the private sector. I don't understand why. I'm not knocking VA clinics. I'm saying, would you not get a better service out of the private sector?
You probably would. I would imagine there's probably some considerations for having the VA hospitals. They probably immune themselves from things like malpractice and that sort of thing. So that's probably why they do that. It's just a guess.
President Trump says he's not budging. The Democrats say they're not budging on a government shutdown we're going into 2 weeks now. How are you guys really seeing that as a differential problem for the economy and for government workers, non-essential employees out there? But a lot of it has to do with immigration and border wall security out there. But Greg Jarrett, who is a legal analyst from Fox News, says the president can go out there and blame Chuck Schumer. Schumer blames President Trump. But he says until coming up this week when the Democrats take over the House of Representatives, shouldn't the Republicans be part to blame for not passing border security with a comprehensive immigration bill?
Critics would say, well, wait a minute. Republicans have had control of the House and the Senate for 2 years.
Right.
And the White House for the better part of 2 years. And yet you have failed to undertake comprehensive immigration reform that would include a border wall. So doesn't the GOP leadership, meaning McConnell and Paul Ryan and others, bear the lion's share of the blame?
I mean, again, let me ask this question I asked earlier. Let's go back to 1995. Bill Clinton asked the Republican Congress for more money for his government programs. They said no. I mean, they were giving him an increase, but not the rate that he wanted.
Right.
Government shutdown, they blame the Republicans. So Trump's doing the same thing. Oh, it's not even the Republicans shutdown. It's Trump shutdown.
Yeah, exactly. And what's so interesting is that the shutdown was really started, obviously now, when you have Republican control of both houses of Congress.
Yeah. Is it right to say we can blame the Dems for this?
I don't think you can. I really don't think you can.
I mean, if they wanted to compromise a little bit more, then I think some could say there could be an argument against President Trump. But actually, according to news reports over the holidays, he was ready to compromise from 5 down to 2.3, 3.2, and they still said no.
Right. Republicans in Congress said no.
No, Democrats have said no. Okay. Well, yeah. Republicans have passed it. Just don't have enough votes in the Senate. So more as we continue to move along. 222 Talk, 904-222-8255. Ed Dean's going to be back this morning. Roger Henderson on Talk Radio WBOB.
In St. George County, 95 South at mile marker 316, there's been a crash. Two lanes remained blocked. At 295 South at Pulaski, there has been a wreck there. Some delay there. A wrecker is on the scene and on the Buckman Bridge going into Orange Park. We're looking at a broken down car there.
This traffic report is brought to you by J. David Tax Law. When you owe the IRS and can't pay, go to jdavidtaxlaw.com. Peace of mind is only a click or phone call away.
Lil Hooker Clothing and Accessories, performance apparel for all ages, on and off the water. Lil Hookers offers quality and comfortable apparel for men, women, and children. Make the most of every cast. Don't wear clothing that's in the past. Get your gear today. Contact Brian Dutcher at 904-408-1526. Here's that number again right there. It's 904-408-1526. And remember this, y'all. Lil Hooker don't play. We stay catching fish all day.
Hi, it's Mac with Baker Glass. If you're having trouble finding a clear option for that new shower enclosure or a replacement for that fog glass, then call the Baker Boys or find us at BakerGlassInc.com. That's BakerGlassInc.com. Baker Glass, no one treats you better. Hi, this is Mac with Baker Glass, where we use our more than 32 years of experience to provide a complete glass service to all of our customers and a clear choice for you. See for yourself at BakerGlassInc.com. That's BakerGlassInc.com. Baker Glass, no one treats you better.
Our morning clouds will turn to afternoon sunshine today and a high of 80 degrees. This evening, partly cloudy with a low of 61, currently 60 degrees here at WBOB.
To contact Ed Dean at AM 600 and 101.1 FM, call 222-TALK, 222-8255, or email ed at WBOB.com.
Let's get to some emails. Ed and Roger, good to hear you. Roger, always enjoyed you. Ed, we're not so happy that you're back. Nah, they're just kidding. She says we're just joking, Ed. Good to have you back.
No, she's telling the truth.
She's kidding.
Thank you so much.
So saying that, here's one from Bobby. Ed, good to hear you guys back this morning. We missed you over the holidays. Not everybody got to take time off. What are you, union? No, I was. Listen, mine really wasn't days off. I just had to, you know, get some work done. That's all, you know. So Okay. Anyway, nothing bad. I was fine. Here's one from Tyrell. Ed, missed you here from the north side. We have you have a listenership that we don't listen to other radio shows. I appreciate that. Thanks so much. Here's one from Calvin. Ed, your host, we're good, but we are grateful to have you back on the air. Here's one from Mia. Ed, we enjoy the fast pacedness. Will you slow it down this year? Never. Never, never, never. Here's one for Michael. Ed, what did you get for Christmas? I got a brand new mic.
Okay.
Actually, I didn't. That's just in front of me. So Okay. Anyway, now. Here's one from Micah. Ed, we hear you say you're the happiest behind the mic. Yes, I am the happiest behind the mic. It's great to be back. A lot more emails to get to. Ed at WBOB.com. Ed at WBOB.com. We're hearing recession, slowdown, Trump's fault, Democrats to be part in the blame when they take over. Come on, folks. What is 2019 and the stock market and the economic outlook may not be as bad as what some of the left are predicting. Steve Beamon's coming up next on Talk Radio WBOB.
Talk Radio, AM 600. 101.1 FM, WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. On this 12th day of the partial government shutdown, President Trump will be meeting with Republican and Democratic congressional leaders at the White House. Tensions flared and the tear gas flew along the southern border on New Year's Day. The Border Patrol says about 150 illegal immigrants tried to rush the border fence. Some of them started hurling rocks at Border Patrol agents. They responded with the tear gas. His family says there's simply no way that retired Marine Paul Whelan is a spy. The U.S. citizen arrested last week in Moscow has now been charged with espionage. Conviction could carry a 20-year prison term. A rail accident in Denmark. It has left six people dead, more than a dozen others injured. On Wall Street, Dow futures down 272 points. S&P futures off 30 points. More details at srnnews.com.
Good morning. On the Buckman Bridge going toward Orange Park, there's a broken down car. We see some delay. 95 south at Emerson, look out for a crash on the left side of the highway. And in St. Johns County, 95 south at around State Road 16, we're seeing backup due to a crash in that area. Morning clouds, then afternoon sunshine today. Our high will be 80 degrees. This evening, partly cloudy with a low of 61. Currently, it's 60 here at WBOB. And here are the top stories we're bringing you this morning. Minimum wage workers will get a pay raise, and businesses will get a break on insurance bills as new laws take effect today in Florida. President Trump says he's ready to deal for the government to reopen, but no compromise from Democrats on border wall funding. And economists say while the stock market has seen major turbulence, 2019 looks good for positive growth.
To contact Ed Dean at AM 600 and 101.1 FM, call 222-TALK, 222-8255, or email ed@wbob.com.
More as we continue to move along, Ed Dean here, one of my favorite guests. He's been on with me for the last several years. Many of you enjoy hearing him. It's always good to have him down also when he's in the studios. Very well-known financial and economics radio talk show host. Also one of the best when it comes to the areas of the market, the economy. No spin whatsoever. He is the CEO and chairman of the McGrawCouncil.com, our good friend Steve Beamon. Steve, let me play for you a very quick clip asked by Fox News' Sandra Smith about the economy and the market outlook for 2019.
And it's an interesting moment for this country where Wall Street is reflecting the actions of the White House and Congress, perhaps in a bigger way than we have seen historically. You hear the R word thrown a lot, recession these days. Are concerns of one, are they overdone at this point, or is that becoming a reality?
All right, so I want to break a lot of this down. First off, when you look at those, some of the economists are saying, hey, listen, wage growth is going to be up 3%. We still got 2.5% to 3% possible GDP growth rate for the U.S. economy. Yes, the global economies are not doing well. Steve, the stock market, the economy, what do you think the outlook, even for the first half of this year?
Well, first, happy new year. It's good to be back with you.
Thank you.
I'm looking at a generally positive year for corporate earnings. We've got the consensus earnings estimate for the S&P at $193, which puts that market at a pretty fair valuation right now. I think I'd be a net buyer. We are going to see some volatility continue. That's just the program algorithm traders that are causing this volatility. But fundamentally, the earnings of the S&P look good. The earnings of the U.S. economy look good. And yes, we have issues with China, with the tariff war that's going on. We have issues with the Fed raising interest rates into a non-inflationary economy. But generally speaking, I think we're looking at 2.4% growth this year, somewhere in that range, Ed, and that's not bad.
I mean, Steve, even Christine Romer from CNN, we played this clip a couple weeks back. This year, or excuse me, 2018, higher, even with a lower jobs performance in the November numbers out there, less than 100,000 the month previous, that it was on par to be a better jobs creator than that of the last year of Obama. And also in 2017, manufacturing jobs have come back overall. And yet when you look at this, if we don't have a tariff type of a contrast, we could see decent economic numbers around 3%. Is that quite possible?
I think it is. I think, again, this 2.4 that we're seeing from the consensus economist takes into account the tariff from China. We're going to have to see what happens. China needs to budge on this stuff. If it does, if the Trump administration gets an agreement with China, you could see back to that 3% growth rate, because there's just a lot being held back by the concerns of that. So I remain optimistic, but I think a lot has to do right now with Trump getting this Chinese tariff war over with.
Here's economist with the Alliance Group, Al Elrod. He was on with Fox Business News. He says there's a couple of things of the reason why there's been market turbulence. Clip number 12.
You have to look beyond Washington. Yes, Washington is an added factor, but there's three things going on. One, the global economy has become more uncertain, not because of the U.S. The U.S. is doing fine, but because of Europe and because of China. Two, central banks have changed behavior. They are no longer buying securities. They're no longer keeping interest rates really low. The Fed and the European Central Bank are tightening liquidity. And finally, behavior has changed on Wall Street. It's no longer about buying every dip. It's about selling every rally. So there's a lot going on.
All right, so Steve, let me play devil's advocate as though I'm trying to spin this. If this had been President Obama, there would be those of free market conservatives that would sit back and say, see, Steve, the economy isn't doing that well. Trump gets in, has a lousy December, OMG, the economy is sinking. And yet we pointed out that even with they say the worst stock markets is that of 2008. One of the differences is, I'm not trying to spin this, is that you have a lot of people, the rate of return has been, 18% since Trump has been in office. A lot of people are selling, making that profit. Am I wrong or right on that?
No, I think you're right, and I think also we need to look at statistics. When people say it's the worst stock market since the Great Recession, it's because we generally have had positive returns since then. This is the first down market we've had in a long time. I think we need to remember that ultimately stocks are priced based on earnings. We come back to that every time. And the earnings outlook for U.S. companies looks very good in 2019. Consumer spending is up. Business spending is up. Yes, we have instability around the world. We all know that. It's there. We get rid of that with China. We start to get the rest of the world to come up. We'll see our continued growth rates, and that's what we want. It does look like with the Democrats holding the House, we won't get individual tax cuts, which would be a nice stimulus. But I think we've got enough in play right now to keep this economy growing.
Steve Beaman, very well-known economics and financial radio talk show host. He's also the CEO and chairman of the McGraw-Council.com. Is it safe to say that the market shouldn't really be up and down based on D.C.? I mean, the attitude to those at least know what's going on would sit back and say, okay, the House can pass a green energy. They can do this Medicare for all. This is no way this is going to pass the U.S. Senate. But yet, is that possible just by that type of something that may not even pass the Senate but passes the House could mess things up?
Well, there's no question that it does. Government has become a focal point of everything. And so when you get the Ocasios that come out and make these wild claims about universal health care, you know, dropping the student debt and all these things that add to the already $20 trillion debt, there's concern in the markets. And what happens is that gets exacerbated by the fact that we trade stocks at the speed of light now. There isn't the sound mind that we used to have with the specialist system that slowed things down a bit. This stuff reacts instantaneously, and that creates volatility.
You know, Steve, if I may, again, as you know, my background as a former economics reporter, you are, of course, in it. You and I always have great conversations. You know, Roger, we were talking about Bitcoin just for argument's sake. By the way, how's that Bitcoin doing, Steve?
Well, yeah, and you guys have seen the crypto market was slaughtered in 2019. Crypto's, you know, Bitcoin's down to 3,300. But again, I think if we look at what's going on with the debts in the world, the United States is adding $1 trillion a year to its debt. Within 10 years, we'll have a $30 trillion debt. At just 3% interest rates, that's $900 billion a year in interest charges. So this is becoming serious again. It's going to play well to the crypto hand over the long term.
I know. I asked that question to Jess. Roger and I like joking about that. But having said this, let me, without, again, trying to use a spin, for example, I work out almost every day. I have to for my health. And let's say at the end of the year, and you know this, Steve, Roger, we've run ads on this radio show. Hey, go to this certain type of a gym, whether it's Bailey's Gym or whoever, get your first month workout. So people go work out for 6-7 months, drop the weight. Now, follow me, Steve. They membership gains. They're seeing record numbers of people coming to the gym. People meet their goal, and then they kind of weigh off, and they would sit back and go, well, maybe the gym didn't do such a good enough job. No, people got their goal. They dropped their weight. They feel they don't need to go back to the gym anymore. It doesn't mean that the gym was doing a lousy job.
Well, clearly not. It has to do with the psychology of people.
Yes.
And I think one of the things I tell people when they invest their money is be like Warren Buffett. Don't read the news outside of its effect on fundamentals. Don't get caught up in the firestorm of all the political news, all the junk that goes back and forth. None of that matters ultimately. What matters ultimately is you invest in things that have increasing value. And you look at that based on earnings, dividends, and asset growth.
Let me ask you a question. Is a home recession-proof anymore? I mean, in the old days, it was your retirement. Not anymore, would you say?
I would say that there's no such thing as recession-proof.
Right.
So, but I think folks down there, and I think all around this country, need to remain optimistic. We need to just ignore the media spin on politics. We need to look to the fundamentals of what we're doing, and net, people can have a prosperous year. We are looking again at a 2.4% GDP growth. That's very strong. We should see the markets respond to that. But let's consider the fact we're going to have continued volatility.
Steve, I got a minute left. There was a report that came out last month. CNBC reported the majority of CFOs believe that we could be heading light. And it wasn't major turn, but they said that they wouldn't be surprised if we started going into a recession. Steve, people are listening to you. Why should they listen more to you than some of those CFOs of those companies?
Because the numbers are behind me, not behind the emotion of the CFOs who are playing into the political spin. So I think it's just a rational question, not an emotional question, Ed. And I think that's what
I have to ask you that. Well, you know, but Steve, you know, I think a lot of it, we look at economics. I think that maybe, and maybe it's fair to say that some of these guys are looking at the political economics of it.
There's no question about it. People get caught up in this, and a lot of the corporate CEOs are saying things to pander to their base. They're trying to tie politics into it.
All right.
I mean, there's virtually nothing in this country that's not politicized now, and I think corporations get caught in that too. But in investing in math and economics, it's about the numbers, not about the political spin.
Interesting. It's about the numbers. I wish politicians would learn that lesson. It's about the numbers. Steve Beamon, he is the chairman and the CEO of the McGraw Council. The website, McGrawCouncil.com, McGrawCouncil.com. Steve, good to talk to you today, as always.
Well, it's always wonderful. And again, Happy New Year to you, and I look forward to a prosperous 2019.
Yeah, we all have it. More as we continue to move along. 222-TALK, 904-222-8255. Marilyn Curry's got a pretty good... I got to tell you, we don't endorse candidates, Roger.
Right.
We never have. Many years in this radio show, we endorse issues and ideas. I mean, Roger and I don't agree on everything, but he likes it, and that's fine. We don't have a major blow up after during the show, but he's got a pretty good ad, a Jeopardy ad, about, you know, Anne Lopez Brochet, who we get along. We get along with both of the candidates. Mm-hmm. Well, she's not an announced candidate yet. About her wanting to repeal term limits and things. Pretty good ad. I want to talk more about it coming up next. 43 minutes after the hour, Talk Radio WBOB.
On I-95 South at Emerson, there has been a crash that's on the left side of the highway. We do see backup there. And all morning in St. John's County, 95 South, right at around mile marker 316, there's been a wreck. First responders on the scene. A couple of lanes there are blocked.
Here's Dan Celia with today's Stewardship Moment.
I'm always amazed at how quickly we get off track when it comes to our giving. I guess I've been guilty of that myself from time to time. But Proverbs 4:23 says this: keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Now, the way I understand that is the issues of life that the writer is talking about is pretty much everything that we do. See, if we get off track with our stewardship, with our giving or tithing, it's because of what springs out of our hearts.
You've just heard a Stewardship Moment with Dan Celia of Financial Issues Ministry, helping you plan, give, and invest wisely. For more information, log on to financialissues.org. That's financialissues.org.
Here's some great news. If you missed the deadline to sign up for health insurance, or more importantly, if you sign up for a plan that you're just not happy with, you still have a choice. It's called MediShare, and MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing program. It's been around for 25 years. They have more than 400,000 members now around the country. And get this, over the years, MediShare members have shared more than $2 billion of each other's medical bills, so they could help share your needs too. And best of all, you could save a lot of money with MediShare. The typical savings for a family is around $500 a month. Your savings could be more or less, but think about what you could do with that extra money every month. So if you think you're stuck with a high-cost health plan that doesn't have much to offer, think again. You can join MediShare anytime, so call them today and check it out. There's no pressure. They're super easy to talk to. 877-64-BIBLE. That's 877-64-BIBLE. 877-64-BIBLE.
Morning clouds, then afternoon sunshine will be rolling in. We have a warm day today with a high of 80. This evening will be partly cloudy with a low of 61. Right now it's 60 here at WBOB. And here are the top stories we're bringing you this morning. President Trump says he's ready to deal for the government to reopen, but no compromise from Democrats on border wall funding. Economists say while the stock market has seen major turbulence, 2019 looks good for positive growth. And minimum wage workers will get a pay raise and businesses will get a break on insurance bills as new laws take effect today in Florida.
Contact the Ed Dean Show on AM 600 and 101.1 FM by calling 222-TALK or 222-8255 or email ed@wbob.com.
Don't forget to download the app. Thousands of you listen to the show each day. You do it through your smartphones, Android phones. Just go online, free app, wbob.com. WBOB.com. I think Anna Lopez Brochet, everybody thinks she's, I don't know why she's waiting. All right. I thought she might have made the announcement earlier. She is not announced yet, though some say that she may. Marilyn Curry has a very interesting ad. I like good political ads about she voted for a big pay increase. They call her a millionaire. I don't know if that's true or not.
I didn't know she was balling like that.
She was balling like that.
Good for her. Balling is crying. Balling is a player. That's the street term.
That means you make a lot of money.
That's right. Like Roger. Roger's a ball. Shine when you can shine and ball when you can ball. But anyways, there's an ad out there that's already attacking her before she's even announced. Here is a little bit. This is actually pretty good to listen to. Here is First Coast News.
Seeing this political ad attacking Jacksonville City Council member Anna Broche, who's expected to make a run for office, but she hasn't officially thrown her hat into the ring yet. The ad calls her greedy, self-serving, and heartless. It's paid for by a group supporting Mayor Lenny Curry's re-election bid. Are the claims true?
Here's more of it.
Councilmember Anna Broche.
This millionaire politician voted to raise her own pay twice.
Who is Anna Broche?
First Coast News can verify. Back in 2015, Broche voted in favor of a raise for council members. Then in 2017, voted to raise the salary of council members again as part of the budget for 2017-2018.
Let me stop right there.
It's important to note,
however. Hold on. Let me stop right there. This was it's pretty good optics. This is a Jeopardy ad.
Okay.
With Alex Trebek.
All
right. By the way, the only Alex Trebek I like is the one that Will Ferrell plays on Saturday Night Live okay. with Sean Connery. It's just great skits.
Right.
Having said that, so this was who voted to raise her pay? Who voted to get rid of term limits?
And they use graphics as if you're looking at the TV show Jeopardy.
Right. So First Coast News is reporting this. Hey, It's true. Anna Lopez Broche voted to raise her pay. I guess it was in 2015 and then also in 2017. But
it wasn't just her, but the entire council who approved the pay raise. And Mayor Lenny Curry could have vetoed the decision, but chose not to.
So, and again, we're not endorsing. We never endorse one candidate over the other. We like a lot of what the mayor has done.
If given the opportunity, would you vote to give yourself a pay raise?
No. Either way, they vote for a $500. First off, I don't need to.
Okay.
That's just me. I'm blessed.
That's the lifestyle you lead.
Yeah, but I mean, you got to set by example. I mean, you got a city council that won't. Well, never mind. But anyways, they kicked the can down the road in the pension. I mean, I liked what the mayor has talked about addressing the pension. We're another Detroit. He was exactly correct. But to kick the can down the road, to 2029, instead of dealing with some of it right now, the JEA fiasco out there. Personally, if you sold JEA and you could live off the interest, oh my word, you could fund all the government projects you want. Of course, then again, they probably would spend all the money.
Exactly.
So this is the latest ad out there. Here's more of First Coast News.
She voted to remove term limits for politicians. Who is Anna Broche?
First Coast News can verify. Back in 2017, Broche was in favor of getting rid of the two-term limit for elected officials, like city council, the sheriff, and the supervisor of elections. So did five other council members. They were ultimately outvoted 11-6.
And by the way, some of those is one of our good friends who comes on with us quite routinely, our good friend, councilman and businessman, Matt Schellenberg. Now, Matt's a conservative.
Mm-hmm.
And other Republicans had voted against they didn't want term limits. And listen, there are a lot of conservatives out there that don't like term limits. But there are those that align themselves with the mayor that voted to repeal the term limits. I mean, the mayor can do whatever he wants because it's mandated. He's got two terms. And then he wants to go for higher mountains, which is fine with me.
Mm-hmm.
So is that a good, viable issue? I think it is on the term limits there.
Yeah, at the same time, though, some people will argue that maybe she did it for a reason, and that is if you don't have term limits, you have more experienced people working in government.
Then there's this one.
This politician tried to block hurricane relief funds for Northwest Jacksonville.
Who is Anna Broche?
Now, First Coast News can verify this claim is technically true, but it doesn't tell the whole truth. The ad sources First Coast News from a report we aired on November 13th. In it, I explained Broche sponsored a resolution urging the city of Jacksonville to give a $2.8 million gift back to the United Arab Emirates, a Persian Gulf nation. The gift included $650,000 for the Ken Knight Drive neighborhood, hit hard by Hurricane Irma, and $800,000 to fix parks and fund other projects in North Jacksonville. Broche initially supported the grant, but later backtracked, citing concerns from voters about the UAE's track record on human rights and whether the nation would want something in return.
Okay, so you would think that sounds fair right there.
Yeah.
On that.
Rudy Giuliani did the same thing after 9/11 when a member of one of the sheiks over there gave a check and then gave somebody a lecture on U.S. foreign policy. He gave the check back to them.
Can I ask a question? What if the money had come from a Russian bank? Would the city council have taken it then? because of the Russia collusion, all that kind of stuff? Kind of an interesting question. I'd just like to vote. So, she voted. I'd like to ask her, and I get along with both of them, right? Both of them have been very fair to me. I've been very fair to both of them. Having said that, I would ask her, why did you... You did the John Kerry. You voted for it before you voted against. Or the right. I would like to ask her what she thought about that. Maybe she has a valuable excuse out there. The other question is, she says, hey, listen, we could have funded the money other ways. We didn't need outside interference. Right. I'd like to hear what you have to say about that.
Particularly from bad actors.
Yeah.
There's been some question about the source of money and the motivation behind.
But she and Resolution co-sponsor Garrett Dennis said it didn't mean struggling communities would be denied help. Instead, they claimed the city should give the money back to the UAE and pay for the relief funds out of its own budget.
You know, first off, if you got a problem with the UAE, okay, if there's something you see or you've got something from the Department of Homeland Security says, hey, listen, don't do business dealings with these individuals, then fine. But you know what? If you could save some of the taxpayers' money, if they wanted to give you something, why not take it?
Right, why not? But of course, the reason why she voted to give it back was specifically because there were apparently some type of question of whether or not they were good actors.
We have the money. We have the money in our coffers.
Now, even though this ad specifically targets Broche, she has yet to officially enter the mayor's race. Next on First Coast News at 6, how long she has to make that decision, plus what the rest of the field of candidates looks like with the election just 2 months away.
I don't know. Anybody cares about the rest of the field. But anyways, you didn't hear her talk about, for example, she voted for the HRO, which I know a lot of religious conservatives did not like that bill. There were some bad things with that bill, but also the attack on small business mandates. Mandate HRO. Also, the area when it comes to Confederate monuments out there. You know, by the way, you know, State Representative Mike Hill, who's been on this radio show, a black conservative at the Panhandle, has sponsored a bill that says that state law says that local municipalities, including Jacksonville, Northeast Florida's, will not be allowed to take down Confederate monuments.
Really? Okay.
Now, here's my question. Huh. Should that? I understand where he's coming from, but some have emailed me asking, "What about local control?"
Exactly.
Interesting. That's another issue which we may discuss. But the thing is with Ana Lopez Broche, they must think they're putting the pressure on her. I don't know. There was a question whether or not she's going to run. I'd like to hear from the audience. 222-TALK, 904-222-8255. It is, there are, the ad is correct about the term limits. Dead on. Two term. But the problem with the term limits is not pure. If you wanted to make term limits pure instead of doing it statewide, because not every city, excuse me, based on their local charter, has the same type of charter Jacksonville has, where there's 8 years. You've got people, and I'm not knocking Tommy Hizzuri. He and I don't see politically eye to eye, but I like the guy personally, where he can run, step out, run for mayor, step out, then run for city council again.
And you have a problem with that.
I'm just saying, let's get some new blood in here. If we're going to put term limits, let's put them on everybody. And the bottom line is you cannot run for that seat ever, ever, Never again.
As passionately as you are about that issue, there are a lot of people who are also passionate about having people who have experience that they bring to the job.
What experience did Ana Lopez Broche, what experience did Lenny Curry have? Was he elected before mayor?
No, but you know.
He was an accountant, he was chairman, former chair of the Republican Party of Florida.
Yeah.
That didn't do so quite well when he was chairman. I'm not saying that as a dig, the facts just back that up.
Okay.
But I think the mayor has addressed some good things. But if you're Ana Lopez Broche, and I'm having some fun, maybe she's keeping her powder dry. If you really wanted to mess with the mayor, you could talk about the crime.
Uh-huh.
You could talk about how it's overall underneath his tenure has not gone down.
If she chooses to run, I'm pretty sure crime is going to be on the table.
Yeah. And some other issues as well. Just going to be very interesting to see where this goes. I would like to see term limits applied in Jacksonville if I had my way, which nobody cares. But if I had my way, Roger, I would sit back and say, you run two terms, you're done. You want to run for mayor? That's fine. You cannot step out 1 year, cycle it back, and run for city council again. Or am I wrong on that? You think I'm wrong?
Okay,
that's fine. That's fine.
It's not my opinion, but you know, I think you know, having experience is a valuable thing.
Having experience. Well, that's what I keep hearing from D.C. And then I look at all that experience, and I'm getting a $21 trillion debt.
That's true.
222-TALK. Love to hear from you with this on this issue. 222-TALK. 222-8255. Talk radio WBOB.
On I-95 South at Emerson, there's been an accident. We're counting at least three cars. Most of the crash now on the left side of the highway. And if you're at 95 South in St. George County, there's been a wreck right around mile marker 316. Two lanes are blocked.
I'm Keith Peterson for Lou Dobbs. Wall Street and Congress return to work today, and Sears faces another life and death deadline this Friday. Those stories next.
Have you ever seen a pest controller spraying chemicals in your home?
It makes you wonder, if their chemicals are safe, then why do they suit up and wear respirators only to leave you to walk back in unprotected? G'day, I'm Scott from Plug-In Pest-Free, and I'm here to tell you there's a better way. In an age where we now have the choice to drive electric cars, you too can electronically rid your home or business of unwanted rodents and pests. The answer is Plug-In Pest-Free. 100% chemical-free, Plug-In Pest-Free is your safest bet for your family and pets. Our bestseller, the Plug-In Pest-Free Pro, will cover up to 4,000 square feet. Now that's fair dinkum. So order yours today at gopestfree.com. Use promo code SAVE20 for 20% off plus free shipping and a 60-day money-back guarantee. That's gopestfree.com, promo code SAVE20. Don't spray and regret. Plug in and forget. GoPestFree.com today.
Happy New Year, everyone. Wall Street resumes normal trading today after the New Year's Day break. All major stock and bond firms will be open for this first full trading day of 2019. Congress will also reopen with the U.S. House under control of the Democratic Party. And Nancy Pelosi is widely assumed to become Speaker after spending her holiday break at a huge-end Hawaiian resort. Pelosi and Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer will need to find some common ground with President Trump on funding his border wall with Mexico to end the partial shutdown of the government. Sears has until this Friday to win approval of a bid by its chairman to save the retailer from liquidation. If its advisors turn thumbs down, 68,000 employees could be out of work. Please join us for Lou Dobbs tonight at 7 and 10 Eastern on the Fox Business Network. This is the Lou Dobbs Financial Report.
I'm Clayton Bromberg, the president of Underwoods. With Christmas behind us in 2019 here, the last thing you want to hear is somebody trying to sell you something. That's why at Underwoods, we'd like to stop and just say thank you to all the people that came in our stores over the last year. Whether you bought from us or not, we want to thank you for stopping by and giving us a chance to help. Here on Florida's First Coast, there are a lot of people trying to sell you jewelry, but at Underwoods, we have a different view. Because we consider it an honor for somebody to come in and just give us the chance to help. Because if we do a good job, we might get a chance to serve again. Having served North Florida since 1928, all of us here understand what a customer really gives us during that visit to Underwoods. Their trust. And it's up to us to do everything we can to keep it. So on behalf of everybody on the Underwood team, thanks again for coming into our stores. And we wish each of you a Happy New Year.
We'll see a lot of sunshine this afternoon at a high of about 80 degrees. This evening, partly cloudy, 61 degrees the low, and right now it's 60 here at WBOB.
To contact Ed Dean at AM 600 and 101.1 FM, call 222-TALK, 222-8255, or email ed at WBOB.com.
More as we continue to move along the 8 a.m. hour, Ed Dean, Roger Henderson, plus your emails, the email address again, ed at WBOB.com. Some of you have been weighing in on the issue of local term limits. Was Marilyn Curry right on a latest ad that we just played from First Coast News going after Ana Lopez Brochet on the issue of term limits and the issue of voting for pay raise, but doesn't report the whole truth? We shall do that coming up next right here, 8 a.m. right here on Talk Radio WBOB.